Hey, everybody, I want to tell you about Loop. Matter of fact, instead of me telling you about Loop Jewelry, let's give it to the silky-voiced, handsome Hank so he can tell you.
Well, where are the finest jewels in all the world?
The crown jewels.
Darn right, Hank.
Loop doesn't make crown jewels, but it is making engagement ring shopping easier with personal service, expert style advice, customization options, and beautiful inspiration to help you find a ring that fits your style and budget. All Loop rings are hand-set, individually screened by their team of experts, and meet the highest quality standards. Dave, finding her ring is a big decision. So here's $100 off your ring to free up dollars for your wedding day, or a date, or flowers, or chocolates. Just go to loopjewelry.com/pages/Dave and use the code Dave. That's D-A-V-E. loopjewelry.com/pages/Dave and use the code Dave to get your engagement ring, Dave.
Now let's hear from Matt Money Smith.
And they'll bring the house. Rivers throws to Gordon on the screen. One man to miss, and of course he makes a miss. 40, 45, midfield 50, 40. No one in front of him. Flash to the finish line. Touchdown, Chargers. 66 yards to pay dirt. Melvin Gordon.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, indeed. That was Matt Money Smith alongside of him. Daniel Jeremiah calling the action. Los Angeles Chargers, prime time, and more prime time coming at you in December.
Why don't you come out?
I'd love to.
Why don't we do a trip?
Oh!
Bring Hank.
You're singing my song.
Let's do
there.
It. Let's
Hi
do it.
And hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all is well wherever you are here in Studio 66. We're ready to roll, and we, as always, are presented by Head & Shoulders. We appreciate that, and we'd appreciate you helping out those affected by the California wildfires. Go and visit redcross.org or text CA Wildfires to 90999 to give $10 to American Red Cross California Wildfires Relief. Remarkable stuff happening with those people that are going into those fires, as always, to beat them down.
And brave people.
I mean, yes.
The bravest.
Certainly a hundredfold compared to me. And then also the 2019 Pro Bowl vote is here, so head on over to NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. Which players do you want to see in 2019 playing in Orlando? Now's it's your turn to cast a vote.
I know who I'm voting in.
Oh, you do now?
Yep.
Who's that?
Xavier Howard, cornerback for the Miami Dolphins.
We're going to kibitz with him at
what?
The end of this show.
That's a coincidence.
What a funny thing that you would happen to bring that up. But the voice you hear there is the one you heard talking about Loop Jewelry there. He is our resident Miami Dolphins fan, so no wonder he's looking forward to a visit from the guy who's playing at a Pro Bowl level for the Dolphins this year. Xavier Howard, it's Handsome Hank.
That's it. That's enough.
It was a little clunky the way I introduced you. But,
no, you did your best, Dave.
Yeah,
that's all we can hope for.
That's
here.
Really all I can do.
Yep.
And then seated to Handsome Hank's immediate left, the voice of those Los Angeles Chargers. He's one half of the greatest radio show that you can listen to, Petros and Money. Track that down at iHeartRadio, the podcast Game Theory and Money here on NFL Podcasts, Fantasy Live. And may I say, I was lucky enough to catch a little of the broadcast last Sunday, and maybe I'm a little biased, but you do a gangbusters job, Money. And it's not it's not just that you have a nice voice, it's not just that you describe things well, but it comes through, and it doesn't feel like it's the same thing as being funny. Like if people can hear you trying to be funny, then it's not funny. If you're trying to sound smart, then you seem pretentious. You and DJ have a back
DJ's great.
Well, listen, I know you're modest like that, but you guys have a facility to be super informative for a radio broadcast that, you know, I mean, rare that you hear anybody be so informative. Anyway, it's Matt Money Smith, everybody. That's enough. Anyhow. Okay. So
I do kind of miss that song.
You want
to
hear
it's been
thing?
So long.
Nah,
I don't want to listen to it now.
How about this? How about next time?
Next.
No intro, no bio for me.
Yeah.
Just song.
Just the song.
Okay.
Just song.
done and done.
That money.
Hey, scheduling notes.
Because you danced along. I mean, you were the star of the video.
We have a lot of football to jump into. And I want to tell you that Handsome Hank definitely is already aware of this. Matt Money Smith may not be. And you, the listener, may not be. Coming up on what? November 29th? Is that right?
That's when we're taping it. But it'll come out the next week.
Oh, so it's a holiday classic this year, not just a pre-Thanksgiving pie-off. Pie-off 7 on the way. It is going to bridge the gap between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And, it's going to be maybe the most contentious one yet. Ergo, it's going to be the best one yet because Handsome Hank is back in action.
Oh, yeah?
That's true.
In many moons. He's our inaugural champion.
Kind of the Vince Lombardi trophy was named after Vince Lombardi because he won the very
That's
first one.
Yeah, right.
The trophy, it's never really had a name. The Peisman trophy doesn't, to me, that doesn't work. I don't think that's funny or interesting. I would just name it
that
after
seemed
me.
Like a shot. That seemed like a shot right there.
You would think Handsome Hank would know that the human element is in full force with the blue ribbon panel of one. You got to listen. You want what you want to do. You want to win, you know, curry favor with Damashek. I'm the one.
Okay.
Don't if you don't like being in contention.
I do.
I think he knows, Dave, that you can't betray your taste buds. Wherever you may be looking.
I do know the secret. I do know the secrets of Dave's taste buds and the things he does like and
the
doesn't
secret
like.
Is Dave likes everything.
No, Dave doesn't like everything. You look at him and you're like, he'd eat pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. But actually, when it comes down to it, Dave, he has a certain taste when it comes to pies. That's not to say he wouldn't eat the pies that he also.
I would eat them all.
He just has prioritizes
Thank
certain
you.
Pies over others.
Big week 11 NFL action coming your way. We have to make the picks for Steelers, Jags, Texans, Skins, Bengals, Ravens, Vikes, Bears, and the big one on Monday night. Now in the Coliseum, the Chiefs and the Rams. We'll get into all of that. A little college football for you. Real quick, let's talk about the big story. We've talked about it plenty here on the DDFP with Maurice Jones-Drew, who really did have the insight that no one else had by virtue of sharing an agent with Le'Veon Bell. Maurice Jones-Drew, whether people wanted to believe in him or not, or were listening closely or not, Maurice told us exactly what that was going to happen here from week one on. In fact, even prior to that. And I feel as a man of justice, Maurice didn't get his due, and Mark Cabali back in Pittsburgh. These guys were leading the way. Everybody else was following.
Absolutely right.
All the Johnny-come-latelys are jumping on. This guy broke the story. That guy broke the story. Nay, Maurice and Mark Cabali were the ones, and we benefited from their knowledge.
Months ago that you were doing that on this podcast.
Here on the DDFP.
It was a kickoff.
Legitimately,
it was a kickoff.
Months ago.
Well, we knew what was happening because, people were, what does Maurice know? What does Maurice really know? He shares an agent with him. I think he knows everything that's going on there. He told you week 11, that's when Le'Veon Bell was going to come back until they discovered that the language was murky. And I think one thing that's been a little misrepresented, fair, I guess, the agent didn't know exactly what the language was. Neither did the Steelers fully in the NFL had to weigh in. Apparently, it's very difficult to divine what the meaning was. Bottom line is, at this point, Le'Veon Bell is not a Steeler in 2018, nor will he be one for the rest of his days, I suspect. I guess since everybody else under the sun has weighed in at this point, why don't you go ahead, Handsome? Do you have any thoughts about Le'Veon Bell? Do you think that this has been a disaster for him, as some have declared? Do you think that maybe this ends up working out? He gets the money he wants, guaranteed or otherwise?
I think he'll get the money he wants or get close to the money he wants. If Todd Gurley got paid, you'd think that at some point, a team next season or next offseason will pay Le'Veon Bell somewhere in the range of what he wants. My question would be, and those teams, I think that's been widely speculated. Is it the Jets who've got some cap space, or the Bucks, or the Browns I think you mentioned last week, maybe he wants to stick it to the Steelers?
Well, I don't think it's. I think it's the old Browns, the new Ravens.
Right.
I think that's the one that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. So the big question for me is, when one of those teams gives him close to that money, do you get a player who is a year rested? And therefore the benefit of having fresh legs potentially, or does age regardless of how well rested you are, does age just being, what would he be, 29, 28 next season?
I think the thing that's been debunked a little bit by guys who get hurt in the first week or whatever, and they essentially are out for a year and then come back, Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles both did that a few years back. I don't think sitting out a year, but it used to be, you'll never be right again if you sit out a full year. I don't think that's really true. The question is, I guess, is he really going to just go to wherever, regardless of football situation? He's just going to chase the top dollar. And if he does that, is he really going to be content with the Raiders or the Buccaneers?
It would feel weird if he wouldn't, given the fact that he was on a team that was, you know, set up to win championships and that offered him decent money for a 3-year deal, you know, back in the offseason, and turned that down. It feels like, you know, good for him. He wants to get as much money as he can during what can be a very unpredictable positions
I completely
career.
Get both so sides. I, think, I really do. That's the bottom line.
I think he goes to the team that he's most comfortable with and which is offering the most.
I don't mean it to be a shot, but he doesn't care about competition.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's a tough position. It's the worst position to play. I mean, if you want to have a long career, you couldn't pick a worse position to play in sports. So I have no problem with him sitting out a year. I have no problem with him taking a $50 or $60 million deal from the Jets or the Raiders, because if he cares about winning the championship, he would have played this year because that would have been more important than a long-term deal. It would have been $14.5 million, and that's what he would have done. And again, when it's that position and you know the attrition and you know the injuries that come along with it, totally fine with it. But I would imagine he, and I think this, you also remember, it's not just Le'Veon Bell, it's team Le'Veon. So his agent needs to come out looking good in this one if he's going to have a future as an agent. Like, hey, we left $14.5 million on the table. I got to get out of this thing with at least $57.5 million, the Todd Gurley deal, and like $30 million guaranteed for me to look okay in this. So I would guess he's going to be a Jet. That would be my guess, is that Sam Darnold desperately needs that guy. If that's what you invested in Sam, he's got to have someone like Bell to take the pressure off. That team is so bad. And because, you know, they gave up picks to get Sam, they're going to have to use free agency. So I'm guessing they're going to write him a
big check. I think that's exactly right what you're saying. I think the Ravens would be incented to do the double whammy of, you know, he hasn't been a Steeler now for a season, but to take him and put one of the Steelers' best pieces, the arch rival. I like that.
It'd be great if they would.
From a soap opera standpoint, even as a Steelers fan, I can sign off on how compelling that would be for the next few years. I think Miami and Tampa, if we're talking about money and he wants to make the most money, no state taxes, both of those spots make sense.
If you ask me to predict it now, I'd say Tampa. I think Tampa's going to have a new coach. They're going to have a new front office. They're probably going to be replacing Jameis Winston. They're going to be, they're already kind of an anonymous team in the NFL. They need a face for that team, and I think they'll pay to have Le'Veon Bell be that guy.
I think, and people want to wish that by speaking it onto social media or out loud to whoever's within the sound of their voice, that they can somehow put a pox on Le'Veon Bell by saying, he'll never get that money. He'll never make it back. Oh, yes, he will.
He will.
And I'll tell you something else, too. If he wants to, he can go to a team that has at least an optimistic future. You know, he doesn't have to go to the Raiders if he doesn't want to, although they're not going to look as bad once they flesh out some of those first-round picks. But, yes, he could go to the Jets.
But, see, I don't think the Raiders – I don't think the Raiders are ready to spend that kind of money.
No, I don't think.
You know what I mean? They look like they're, hey, let's be bad. It's almost like the Philly 76ers approach. Let's be bad. Let's have a ton of high picks, and let's build through the draft. Whereas I think the Jets are like, hey, we're in New York. We drafted this quarterback. We got to help him out. His confidence has already been shaken enough because our team stinks. Let's give the guy some help and get him back on that track we think he can get on.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But I do wonder if, let's say, it is the Jets and they're still in transition in 2019, he can say all he wants. It's about money. He's not just doing it for him. They sort of position himself as the 21st century Kurt Flood for all future running backs. All that's fine until he gets in there. And let's see how he likes 3.2 a carry and how he likes being 4-12. It's easy to say, I don't care about winning. It's about the dollar figure and how much money. But human beings, I mean, professional athletes are are supremely competitive human beings.
Is that, but we've seen
I wonder how easy it's. That's one thing you can say with your brain. But when you're out there in and it's late September, wait, we got 12 games left.
Sure.
That I think is going to. He may have some regret. That's the one thing I would say about it.
We have a good example of it already, though. Odell Beckham wanted to get paid, got paid by the Giants, and then what was it? 4 or 5 weeks into the season, he's complaining that actually I don't really know if I want to be on this team. It's not very good.
Yeah, well, that's
so you get your money first, and then you complain about the standard of the play after that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will make the same point, but yeah, again, like we talk about, rookie deal for your quarterback allows you to then spend on a luxury item like number 26, Le'Veon Bell. And I bet you there are at least a couple teams out there that say, I don't want that guy. He doesn't have a passion for pro football. But there will definitely be a couple or a few teams that the second that free agency starts that will be throwing I bet you it's about $40 million, you know, somewhere in that range. Anyhow, enough about that. That's not going to happen in 2018.
So that's next year.
Right. That's exactly right. Let's now jump in very quickly to Syracuse, Notre Dame, disgusting uniforms that I don't understand.
You don't like the pinstripes.
What are they doing? They're Notre
Dame. They're
playing
at Yankee Stadium.
So what?
So they're marking the occasion with the pinstripes.
Spaghetti likes the Yanks, and Spaghetti likes Notre Dame.
So he should like this, right?
I don't like those.
Why not?
It's disgraceful.
I wish Under Armour would just go back to what Adidas did with the
Kelly greens.
Those are the Bush Push like game one. The darker green with the gold numbers instead of the navy blue, and then adding these.
If I may, Eddie. If I may. The entire uniform combo for ND isn't great. Dull gold pants with neon green jerseys? Just go back to the Bush Push variety.
It's the truth. I mean,
it is true.
That was my favorite one.
I think the jerseys are fine. They did a better job than they did years ago when they first wore those, and they got rid of like the weird stripes, and they wrote like Irish in a big gold script. They just went cleaner, but the dull gold pants with the navy blue and like the neon green, it's just a weird mix. They got to change something there.
I think the best look, because I do like the idea of doing the pinstripes. I think it's cool.
It's fun.
But maybe like the old Charlotte Hornets. Remember they were like teal with the purple? Like if you did a Kelly green with a forest green pinstripe, could be kind of cool.
Yes. I don't want to be a curmudgeon about it. It just seems like you're Notre Dame. You don't modify your uniform for anybody.
Yeah, you're old school. Just
you take a back seat to the Yankees? No, you're Notre Dame. You're another iconic brand.
If it were old Yankee Stadium, if it were the historic Yankee Stadium, then maybe we give them a pass. You pay homage, you know, but the fact that it's a new whatever, so what? New stadium, don't care.
Win the game.
Not the same.
Just win the game and just put those in a closet somewhere.
Win the game so you can get in as the 3 seed and get absolutely embarrassed and housed by Clemson and Alabama because you got no business being in the playoff. How you like that, Eddie?
I disagree.
How you feel?
This is going to make...
Really?
I disagree. They are going to get wrecked by Alabama or Clemson.
Oh, Alabama. Sure, but Alabama is not the same level as Clemson.
Absolutely destroyed.
Clemson looked pretty mediocre last week versus BC without their starting quarterback. I mean...
Yeah, okay.
Their defensive backfield is some trouble. Book's been great. Notre Dame's defense has been great. Dexter Williams can run the ball. They gave up.
I remember this exact conversation 5 years ago or whatever it was, 6 years
and
ago.
And I'm not picking them. I would not pick them to beat Alabama.
Or?
I think the Clemson game is a coin flip.
That Clemson defensive line, their seconds are better than almost anybody's firsts. Like, they're just going to rotate guys through. And I was watching film with DJ on the plane the other day. This number 42, my God, this guy. I can't remember his name, and I hate doing that.
But the Irish line's been good forever.
Yeah. They have great offensive line coach, although he just left.
Yeah, he's left for the Bears.
But, they had no question. So, you're crazy. That team's got no business.
Will the Irish take care of...
What was the score of the Notre Dame Pitt game?
1940.
Yeah, let's go through their last 6 weeks and let's talk about this Notre Dame team.
Can still get into the Final Four? Because they're really playing well.
I think they can.
They're really playing well.
I think they can.
Maybe. I don't know if there'll be room for them with the Indiana Hoosiers after they go up to Ann Arbor and take down the allegedly mighty Wolverines. That also may happen. Syracuse will not be Notre Dame money.
I hope they do.
You hope they do.
I hope they do. I do not want to see Notre Dame in the Final Four. I don't think they're even.
Who would you want to over them? another SEC team with a loss or two?
Yeah, I'd rather have.
Don't do that, money. Come on.
For competition's sake, I would rather see Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, and Clemson.
You'll be very surprised how they look.
No. You know what? Here's what I want. I want Oklahoma. I want Lincoln Riley. I want that offense, and I want to spread it out, and I want to see speed versus power. That's absolutely what I want.
Now, UCF, even if they lose 128 to nothing, then it's justice being served.
I'm not into the justice.
This is a different Notre Dame team. I think, I don't know how much you've watched, but they're fun. They're good.
I remember sitting in a bar in Buffalo with our man Dave, head of security, who is a diehard Notre Dame fan, asking me to watch the Notre Dame Pitt game with him.
Yeah,
and
I
remember
watching worst game.
A team. I'm like, really? This team?
That's a bad game to pick. And teams are allowed to have, Alabama had a semi-hiccup last week, too. They've looked great against, they beat Michigan in week one
The good thing is, we'll see.
I'm confident they're going to win out.
I'm confident they're going to win out, too.
The Clemson game is a coin flip.
I want to get into the pro football picks here. We have a couple of things to get to. This is what we do because we actually are not just sports nerds on the air. We actually like to talk about sports when we're not on the air. Down in the newsroom, we were just kibitzing their spaghetti. What were the two that came up?
The one that came up was who's the best shortstop of all time.
Oh, yeah. Who is the best short? I casually mentioned Derek Jeter maybe counts as the greatest shortstop of all time, right? Is there anybody better? Cal Ripken, Ernie Banks.
Sean Dunston.
I love Sean Dunston. Boy, I loved him. He'd hold the ball,
and then
just fire it at the last possible second to get a guy.
Oh, and his post game interviews were the best because all he would talk about is how hard he could throw the ball. I mean, he's out of the ball. What's that, Sean? You see how far I throw that ball over first base? Man, if I was a pitcher, I'd be throwing about 125 miles an hour. That's what he used to say. If I was a pitcher, I would throw the ball 100, 125 miles an hour. It was the best. He would intentionally hold the ball and just watch the runner until he was two steps away and then just fire it over.
He was really fun. And then, but what led to that conversation was we were trying to, for no good reason, trying to string together how many athletes from one sports town can you string together by number? So the Yankees alone can go Derek Jeter, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio. That's a pretty powerhouse.
Joe Torre, six.
I mean, yeah, you could throw Torre in there, and then you get the Mantle, then you get the Yogi Berra, then Roger Maris. That's before we even mention any other teams from New York City. That's going to be a tough one to beat. Handsome?
Yes.
You want to try?
No.
You want to try to?
I mean, there's no point in me trying.
No, I don't. I wouldn't.
Who's the greatest cricketer of all time?
I mean, people will tell you it's Donald Bradman.
Do you agree?
Great Australian, yeah.
I wanted to bring you into the conversation.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
Do you want to get into some?
No, it's fine.
You don't want to?
Oh, the picks. Yes.
What's the weekly top five, Dave? What's your weekly top five players right now?
That's a fun discussion. There you go, money.
Has it changed since last week?
That's what I'm asking. Has yours changed since last week?
It now goes, thank you for asking, the NFL top 100 players as we exit week 11. I still have Patrick Mahomes number one. Drew Brees has now jumped up to number two. Is that right, Spaghetti? Oh, no, I still have Aaron Donald at number two. Money's argument is on point. I mean, the Rams defense has not been very good.
Do you know what their quarterback rating against is? The Rams, would you care to venture a guess? I just looked it up earlier today. It blew my mind when I saw it. Quarterback rating against through 11 games now, right?
Right.
98.6. Woo!
James Jones, though, I was speaking with him to name drop and, high-end receiver for Aaron Rodgers when they won the Super Bowl and were in that remarkable stretch with those Packers teams. And he said, you really can't knock the Rams too much defensively. I get it that the numbers are out of whack, but their offense scores not just a ton. But they don't just score a ton, but they also score super fast.
Yeah.
So the defense is constantly on the field, and the foes are always playing catch-up. So it's going to inflate, certainly, passing numbers. It kind of makes sense.
The only problem is, and I understand what he's saying, I think the only problem there is when you look at yards per play, quarterback rating, yards per pass, that's different. That's different than points and totally. Right. Those aren't teams playing catch up. I mean, think about, and look, Dante Fowler made a great play last week to get that strip sack and turn the ball over. But I mean, you think about Aaron Rodgers, you think of, I mean, there are so many instances where you look at that team and you're like, and this is the same stuff I brought up last week. You know, I think their defense is a liability right now. I do not think it is a product of a high scoring offense. I think it is a legitimate liability until Aqib Talib comes back and they can fix that secondary. And that's why they were so desperate to get Dante Fowler and bring in another volatile personality, because they need that edge rush, because Aaron Donald is just hauling ass upfield. And teams, I don't know, I wanted to look up their yards per rush. I think their average yards per rush is over five.
That is
right now. Like, it's, teams are getting after
them.
Yes, man.
They are all, yes, that defensive front is all trying to go for the sack.
Yeah.
And that, so
and they're getting him, but
I still have him. I just think he's remarkable to watch. And then I go Drew Brees, but it was very close. Then I have Phil Rivers, your guy. Who'd I have at five, Spaghetti? Do you remember? Todd Gurley? I think I had Gurley.
Yeah, Gurley.
Yeah. Still at number five there. Does you still have Drew Brees money?
I still got Brees at one, and I have two players I'm trying to figure out how to squeeze in there now. And that is Melvin Gordon and Michael Thomas. And
I'm with you on
those are the two that are kind of right on the outside. And I but the problem is you got to boot people out, and it's hard to get rid of Rivers, Mahomes, Gurley. It's
easier to do in a vacuum. Oh, that guy's got to be in your top 20. All right, well, look at who I have in the top 20 and tell me who I'm removing to get your guy in there. Eagles fans a week ago very cross with me and Spaghetti for Carson Wentz not being in my top 100. Now not as much noise.
You got to think that's why the ancient people, when they started ranking things, were like, we're going to have to invent numbers that go beyond five. Like, we're going to have to invent a six and a seven and an eight and a nine and a 10 to fit the likes of a Melvin Gordon.
And I think, that's what's fun about it is you can change it every week. Like, I think for this week, I might move Melvin into the spot where Phillip was. Like, I might just, because the last 2 weeks, they've been Melvin Gordon games. He has really been the difference in that offense. So I almost kind of move him into maybe five or four, and maybe Rivers slips out this week and he could climb back in there. But
it is fun to move him around. Hey, your team's coming off a bye. I'm going to knock him down when other people excel. But yes, we also talked to Sean O'Hara. Go back and listen to the earlier podcast from this week. Great defense of Eli and Odell and Saquon, and how the future looks at least a little bit brighter there for Big Blue. And then also Willie McGinnis with great stuff defending the now mortal-looking New England Patriots for the umpteenth time. People are questioning them. I have not been one of these people who jumps on, I think it's over for the Patriots. I kind of think that they certainly are going to be one of the two or three best teams in the AFC in January. They'll be one of the scariest teams, of course, but I definitely could see somebody taking them down. They just have the easiest path because they play that East schedule.
The trick play to Brady was, like, to me, it reeked of when you're at, like, your buddy's house when you're a kid and the old man comes out and he's like, hey, let me try this newfangled skateboarding thing you kids are doing, huh? Let your old man get on that thing. And he just looks all awkward trying to push. I just get the sense that Brady's in there talking to McDaniels like, hey, quarterback's running this Philly special stuff. Come on, why don't you help out the old guy here? Are you sure you really want to step on a skateboard? Because, you know, you could fly up.
Don't embarrass me. Please just go back inside.
The way he looks out there running that round, just kind of like stumbling to the ground. It's like, Tom, just stand in the pocket and just move your 6 inches at a time.
I hate the curmudgeons who say this usually. So I'll self-loathe and say, what were they doing with 7 minutes to go, throwing it to old man Brady?
Exactly.
That's a terrible idea.
Terrible.
He gets hurt on that.
Ridiculous.
That's the end of the dynasty for sure, because now it's Brian Hoyer coming into the game until they trade for Nick Mullins for a second-round pick. All right, before we get to the Red Challenge Flag picks, we do have a new voicemail from Kent Brown's mom.
Wonderful.
Delivered from Pittsburgh. This one is best delivered without any explanation, because imagine you're Kent Brown and you check your voicemail. One of the producers here, Kent Brown. You check your voicemail without any explanation, and this is all you hear.
Yeah, Carrie Underwood won for best female and for best male, and I'm glad he did, was Keith Urban. He cried. He was crying really hard, and Nicole was sitting in the front row. Okay, don't call me back. I'm watching the news, and then I'm going to bed. Good night, Ken. Bye-bye.
Don't call me back.
Carrie Underwood's the best female in the world of what?
Don't call me back.
And here's the key. It's not don't call me back, I'm going to bed. Don't call me back. I'm watching the news.
And then I'm,
going to bed. Don't you interrupt my news watching at 10 p.m., okay, or 11 p.m. I'm going to bed.
I got to watch Sally Wiggin on TAE, and then I'm going to hit the hay. You know, Joe DiNardo passed away, but I got to see the weather with the Doppler 5000 says. Then it's to bed for me. All right, let's get to it right
Nicole
now.
Nicole was crying in the front. Okay, Keith Urban won. Nicole was crying in the front.
There was no time for nonsense in that. No. I'm getting straight to the headlines. Carrie Underwood, top female.
Should I call Kent now? No, let's wait till the top males and then call him so you can give him the update on
Cole both. Cole was there. Terrific. All right, let's get to it. The Week 11 Red Challenge flag picks. Red Challenge flag picks.
Whoa. I usually get my cue from Henry.
I'm sorry, I jumped in.
So that's why I was slow on the way in.
Okay, let's do this.
Let's do it properly.
I take my cue from Hank.
All right. Got a little dead legs.
His shrill, and then I chime in.
Dead voice. All right, here we go. Let's try that again, please.
me.
Ready, spaghetti? Hit it.
Red Challenge flag picks.
Back on track,
there we
everybody.
Go.
That's better.
And
thank you. Sorry about
that. Let's start it off down in Duval County, a team that has had the Steelers' number and how. The Steelers talking a lot about this one. The Jags desperate to try and salvage the season here. I mean, you would think that if they lose this one, playoff contention is looking bleak.
Playoffs?
Yeah, right. I mean, if they lose this game for real.
Already looking a little bleak.
Already looking a little bit bleak.
But, I guess I'd have to confirm with what path the Texans have left to if they could realistically catch up with them.
They got the Colts there as well.
The problem is, and I say this all the time, is you're better off to be two games back of one team than you are one game back of three teams.
Yes.
Because then you require multiple scenarios that they all start playing worse and you just basically run the table. So
I'm pulling up the Houston Texans schedule for you right now. Still to come, they're at Washington this week, then Tennessee at home, Browns at home, Colts at home, at Jets, at Eagles, close with the Jets.
I mean, they're not losing again.
What?
Well, Washington, Tennessee,
six. Let's just figure if you get to 10, you win the division, right? So where are their four wins? Home Tennessee, yes. Home Cleveland, yes.
Yep.
At Jets, yes. Home Colts. So it feels like, feels like they're getting to 10.
I think that's your team. We'll pick that game in a second, though.
Right.
But let's start with Matt Money Smith here. Pittsburgh Steelers on a roll after 52 points against the – to that point, when the Panthers were coming into Pittsburgh, you thought, whoa, what a mighty battle.
I thought that was going to be a great game.
Obviously, sincerely thought it was going to be good, too. But the Steelers housed them. Steelers. Jaguars. Matt Money Smith, choose.
I'm going to change, Emma.
Oh, fun.
Taking the Jags.
All right. I'll throw it.
You know what? You know what this game is. This is the Roethlisberger game. This is the Ben throws 5 touchdowns the week before, goes on the road. It's inexplicable that he plays so terrible away from home in his career. And the Jags, continue the, we just got this team's number. For whatever reason, no matter how they're playing, there's just 3 in a row now where they have managed to get the best of Big Ben. And this, what would it be? It'd be like interception 10, 11, and 12 in the last 3 weeks. And the Jags just know how to take care of this team. They get Boye back. It lines up where it happens to
them. What doesn't line up, though, is that the Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt are really collectively and individually turning it on. T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, as a result, have looked much better.
Sure have.
And on the other side, the Jags now are down 3 out of their 5 offensive linemen. That's what they're predicated on. And I said on DVE radio in my weekly call to those guys back in Pittsburgh, this Jags thing that, I mean, they're built to run the ball, and ergo, they say a lot like, oh, this offense is not built to come from behind, which begs the question, shouldn't you change your offense then? What kind of strategy is
remodel.
That?
Remodel.
Kind of yeah. dumb, what kind of logic is that? As long as we never fall behind, right, we're in good
fine.
Shape.
Yep.
Yeah, so Blake Bortles, if that, I assume, means more on his shoulders.
Hey, he put it on the Steelers twice last year, didn't he?
I'm not going to come up with too much of an argument against
there's that. There's not very much to my position other than I've seen Ben do it too many times. I've seen it happen way too many times on the road.
Well, you know what, though? I will say I'm going to pat myself on the back, Handsome, because the two of you were sitting here when I said to you in front of the Falcons game that this is what Seven wanted. He wanted it in the offseason. No Le'Veon Bell. They can't point fingers in that direction. This is Big Ben's team. It's the offense is running through him how he wants it to be. Now you got to do it, future Hall of Famer. And so he has. I told you he could do it.
You did say that.
I did say
But he hasn't done it yet. He's done it for a couple of games, Dave. But
not a couple of games. He's been rolling. What are you talking about? He's been dynamite.
Where does he live in your top 100?
He is what, Spaghetti? I put him. I'm moving him up for.
I would imagine
further.
This week you're moving
been
him
dominant.
Up.
He's been
five
dynamite.
TD passes.
Yeah, he's top 20.
I think he's more top, than that. I think he's 15. Like top 12, top 15, something right. like that. He's God. Been terrific.
He's been good, but he hasn't finished the job yet. I think you made right, it sound well, then like he's
all right.
Like,
well, it's November. What do you want me? What can he do? We'll see. I'm completely with money that he could fall back. But you have the Steelers this week, huh?
I have the Steelers this week, and I picked against them a lot recently and been wrong. So I'm now. Especially against the Jags.
I'll put a finer point on it for you. The Steelers win it on a Chris Boswell field goal. Three-point victory
the Boz.
For Pittsburgh okay. down there, yes. Now, Handsome Hank, we get to the aforementioned Houston Texans. They're paying a visit to our nation's capital. Texans, Skins, a matchup of two first-place teams, and probably, we're just about the Thanksgiving. Those are the first-place Redskins? What? Choose.
I picked the Steelers to win on the road. I'm going to pick the Texans to win on the road, too.
Oh, it's a clean sweep here.
Clean sweep.
No faith in that Redskins team, I guess, at this
O-line.
Point. It makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
Left side of that O-line is a mess, and you got to deal with J.J. Watt.
That was the strength of this team. That's how they got to first place. It's hard to imagine.
I tell you, I don't know if he's on your top 100, but watching the Texans, and I've done that a couple times recently, Tyrann Mathieu's having an amazing season, and he's everywhere in the secondary.
Slowly been sliding up. Yeah. I mean, they're deep. I mean, it's something that we talked about in the preseason, that for all the talk about the Jags have the best defense in football, we did say in late August, there's a chance that the Texans, that the Jags aren't even going to have the best defense in the division. And as a matter of fact, they may have the third best defense in that division. And with the way the Colts defense is playing, they might end up being the fourth best defense. For real. Money, isn't that a funny thing? The blueprint that was shown against the Jags, and now that defense, maybe we'll see. Maybe they'll rise back up. But they do feel a little exposed in the last month now. And as I say, with Darius Leonard and the rising Colts defense there, and the way the Titans have looked now, that the Jags have the fourth best defense in the division?
They could end up finishing in last place
if
the wheels do come off. Because you know what? That offense is not built to come from behind.
That's what I heard.
I love that.
I heard that. Okay, the Bungles once looked like a contender. Now they have Hugh Jackson running the offense. Handsome. I mean, Matt Moneysmith.
You've stolen my thunder.
Here we go. It's the Bungles. It's the Birdies, also with some coaching
Seat action.
It's apparently already been decided. John Harbaugh out. Maybe Jim Harbaugh could move down there.
He'll be out of a job for an hour.
Maybe they could just trade. Maybe John could move up to Michigan and Jim could move down to Baltimore.
It's a great idea.
Very neat. Okay, here we go now. In Baltimore, both teams really desperate for a win to keep their playoff hopes realistic here. Matt Moneysmith, Bengals, Ravens, choose.
You mentioned that the Bengals, in fact, did hire Hugh Jackson.
That's right. Marvin Hugh and Andy. You know,
that's all.
Why not keep it going, man?
I'll take the Ravens.
I'm going to throw a flag at you.
You are,
yeah,
eh?
I am.
Why?
Well, because I think the Ravens are going to be starting a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think the Bengals defense can take advantage of that. So
it's been an atrocity, that defense. I love Marv, too, being snarky to the reporter.
Well, he's not
What are you going to do to the defense?
Over.
Just wait.
He's taking over.
I think we'll
wait and see. Wait and see.
Yeah, Marv, I don't think you're in a position to really have that kind of swagger and attitude.
All he's there forever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. I think he's going to win. I think they're going to win this game.
All right. I mean, listen.
Here's the way they're going to lose, right? So it's going to be a tight game in the fourth quarter, and Hugh's going to go to Marv and be like, hey, wait till you see what I'm about to. I never got a chance to show it because Haley had the reins, and wait till you see this play I come up with. And Andy Dalton's just going to explode into a cloud of dust, and football's going to fall on the field. The Ravens are going to scoop it up and score. That's going to be
You know what the most difficult thing for Hugh to swallow will be? That I was just reading this morning, and we're taping this on Thursday, that Lamar Jackson actually missed practice today because he's sick.
Now I heard maybe.
And right. So RG3, a guy that Hugh Jackson said he could hear the impact of him or something ridiculous like that, could be the guy. Imagine if Hugh has to go up against RG3.
Sweet.
It bums me out, though, because if they don't see Lamar Jackson, because back in the spring, we were talking about that. The place for Lamar Jackson is Cincinnati. It's time to turn the page from the way they've been playing. Instead, you know, like Arrested Development. Hey, it was great back then. Let's do it all over again, everybody. Let's get Hugh and Andy and the whole gang back together.
Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens. Indeed. And if I can make one extra wish, when Marv steps out, please just roll Hugh right into the gig. Make him the head coach.
Please.
And let him be the head coach for 16 years after Marv. What are they doing? What are they doing? It's ridiculous.
We could use some help on offense. Can you think of anyone? Well, I got a guy.
I know a guy.
He's 3-35 over the last 2-plus seasons.
It's real.
What do you think? I like it.
It's real.
I like
that's the guy.
I like what you're thinking.
Have you got his number?
Truly Loco.
Are you sure we can get him? I don't know. It might be a little bit late, but we can try.
I like that Hugh made it clear that he would be open to whatever the Cincinnati organization wanted to discuss. Yeah, I guess you would be.
Yeah, you would be, huh? you weren't turning down 11 offers, 4 of which you didn't even have to interview for?
I see behind the glass that Xavier Howard is here.
I need to get out of here so he can take my seat.
Vikings, Bears money.
It's going to be a rout.
The Vikes?
Yes. They're going to rout the Bears.
I think you're right
about
that.
All this Bears offense, Mitch Trubisky. They played the Jets, the Bills, and the Lions. Come on. Danielle Hunter.
I'm with you. And the big one, Chiefs and Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams.
Are you now?
I am, yeah. I'm tempted to take the Chiefs just because it's Andy Reid. That defense has not been good. Wildly overrated. We've said that repeatedly, but yeah, just feel like sooner or later the Chiefs' defense has to get its comeuppance. It has to. It's too bad to keep winning these games.
Is it worse than the Rams, really? That you were just describing?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't been in the last month.
I got to go through. They just played Arizona. They played Cleveland. They played Denver. You know, The issue
legitimately for the Chiefs is coming off of that Cardinals game. Chandler Jones was getting to Mahomes repeatedly in the first half. They better fix that up before Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh face up against them on Monday.
Maybe it's a little bit of thinking. Maybe I got a rooting interest.
I'm going to throw this at you.
Okay, you're taking the Chiefs?
I'm taking the Chiefs on the road there in a fun one all of a sudden delivered to Los Angeles. Thank you, Matt Money-Smith. You go and in your stead. Here he comes, everybody, from the Miami Dolphins. There he is. See, we're ready to roll here. Handsome Hank, you should know, Xavian, did you notice he's got an accent there on him?
Oh, no, I haven't heard it yet.
You haven't heard the accent.
Guess what?
I think it's because I sound like I've been here for a long time.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
I hit a little bit.
You picked it up.
Yeah, I picked it up a little bit.
He's from London, England, but he is a Miami Dolphins fan thanks to one Dan Marino.
Yeah,
true. He loves Dan Marino. That's when he was growing up. And like everybody, did you grow up you're from Houston.
Oh, I want to say it.
Cowboys?
No. Texas. I was a Texas.
Oh, you were a Texas, guy. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. Yeah. Boy, that's funny to think that you're young enough that you could grow up watching the Texans. To me, it seems haven't they been around for like 10 minutes now? No, they've been around for a while.
We should introduce David Carr. That might be a big throw.
Oh, yeah. The first overall pick in Houston Texans history.
What year that was? 2002?
I think that's right.
Two sounds about right. But anyway, let's talk about you. I'm interested, as a pro football player, will you spend Sunday, or Monday night, more specifically, are you fascinated to see how that Chiefs and Rams game goes?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a great game. I'm going to be looking forward to seeing that. I also got a study. We have a coach, so I'm going to be multitasking, watching film, and try to watch the Rams.
Yeah, and who do you think takes that one if you have to make a pick? And you do, since you're in.
Oh, yeah. you know, the Chiefs are going to take it, man. It's a hell of an offense they have on that side, a lot of weapons. And, you know, the Rams defense, they don't look that – well, their front look great, but, you know, they're having a little bit of trouble on the back end. And the guys like Mahomes, man, he likes to throw the ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody who enjoys watching football is anxious to see this one. Is it weird to you? I've got one recurring theme for me this year is it seems like very few, if any, NFL defenses are playing much defense right now. Do you feel that? Like, man, no, it's not just us. It's everybody is having a real hard time. Why has everything gone the way of offense right now? Is it the rules changes or what?
Yeah, they do a lot for it. The league being an offense favorite, so you know, it's not really much you can do on defense or really do anything to the offensive players that without getting a flag. So it's crazy how it's going right now. But man, I think they're gonna do better.
Handsome.
Well, for you guys, the secondary has been a bright spot, you would say, for the Dolphins. How has that come together this season?
Man, we're coming together great. You know, a few games we had, we didn't do so well. So, you know, we try on the back end, as a defense as a whole, we're trying to come together, stick together, and just finish this season out strong. And, you know, just really having a relationship with the guys on the back end and the secondary, I'd say,
right,
that we try to build on getting a lot of interceptions that we've been going. So we're trying to keep that going.
It is a talented group for sure, and you are finally getting a little belatedly some national acclaim now. Right. What kind of for some reason it's I feel like it's mysterious, the Miami Dolphins. It's hard to get a sense of the team, the state of the team the last couple of years. What kind of guy is Adam Gase? I've heard guys say he's a young guy. Well, I'll let you describe him.
Man, he's a great guy, man. He's a great coach, man. You know, the guys, he can relate with some of the players. So, you know, and he believe in us, and he know what he can what our team can do when we stick together. And I have a lot of injuries that we've been facing this year. So, you know, we try to stick together as a team and just, like I say, try to finish this season off strong.
How has that been, though? I mean, you're right. The injury bug has really showed up in Miami in a big way. Do you guys feel every week like, oh, no, what's happening here? How's it going? Or do you just have to focus on the next game?
We got to focus on the next game. That's the big thing, man. It don't matter who not playing. You still got to play. Mm-hmm. You still got to play the game. So, with the guys we have, we try to have the mentality like the next man up mentality. So with that being said, you know, key players that's been injured this year that got that's injured. So with the next man up attitude, man, we just gotta stick together, man. That's make us bond tighter.
Are you guys? I mean, I assume that part of the conversation is, I say mysterious because I feel like you kind of slipped through the radar a little bit. And if you guys, you know, get into a little bit of a role here, the playoffs are certainly realistic, right?
Yeah, man. How I look now with the schedule and all the teams, everybody going through it right now.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of undefeated teams. I say it's a lot of like a 5-4.
Right. Exactly. With
a record like that, so you know, we still have a great opportunity to make it to the playoffs, and that's what we're looking forward to and trying to finish this season out strong.
What do you think of, you know, you're from Houston, you know, that's, you know, it's a great sports town. How did you feel when you heard Miami Dolphins and you're like, cool, South Beach and everything else, but aqua and orange? How did that make you feel?
Just looking at that, it was a hard color scheme that I had to put together, try to dress up for. But that aqua and orange, man, is just a crazy color. It's like a loud color, too.
Yeah.
So with being from Houston, I was in high school, we was purple and white. Then went to Baylor, we was green. We was green and white, green and black. So our uniform switched up. We even had silver. So with that,
right, yeah, you were a part of the crazy uniforms in Baylor, right?
Oh yeah. So with that aqua and orange, it was just a crazy color, and you know, I got used to it being South Beach. So you know, just like the Miami Heat, they got a new color too. So
they do, right? They've done a little Miami Vice kind of stuff. Yeah. So are you now more a Miami sports fan, or are you sticking to your roots and rooting for the Houston teams outside of the Texans?
Oh no! I'm all the way Miami.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm all the way Miami.
Yeah, you have to say that. Yeah, I guess so. But you missed the LeBron years.
Oh yeah, the LeBron years. I know that would have been crazy. I was there, really just with the Heat. Dwayne Wade, I still try to go to their games and watch Dwayne Wade. So, you know, it's crazy the players that they had at the Miami Heats and in Miami and Dolphins too also. So,
do you say anything to – because you played some high school quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you – Ryan Tannehill, conversely, was a wide receiver. Everybody talks about that. Well, he's a receiver.
Right.
Do you guys – like, do you ever say, like, hey, 17, why don't you sit this series out?
He said –
You know?
No, I definitely can't.
Xavier can handle it from here. You ever talked with the coach about it?
No, the only thing I probably could do is some zone read. That's about it.
Has he ever said to you, do you think you can cover me as well? Like, that would be his response to that.
That would be nice. Yeah, that would be nice.
I think you probably could.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely, man. That would be a good little matchup to see Ryan Tannehill at receiver and see what I can do with him.
When you played the Patriots, forgive me, I can't recall when you played them earlier. Was Josh Howard there yet? I mean, Josh Gordon there yet?
Yeah, I played.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, man. He was a big-time receiver at Baylor. That's all they talk about, Josh Gordon at Baylor. Mm-hmm. And just being in the lead and seeing him produce what he can do and just playing against him, it was just crazy. I'm like, man, this is the guy they used to talk about at Baylor a lot.
Yeah.
That he was doing great things in the lead. You know, it's just seeing guys like that from the same roots where I come from. He from Houston also.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that was big. And, you know, we had talked after the game and exchanged some words.
Do you because you cut a big figure for a cornerback. You know, usually the guys are a little slighter than you are, and he's a gigantic guy to be a wide receiver there. Is he the toughest cover you have, or is it the more nimble little guys that give you a problem?
Yeah, I say it's the nimble guys, the little guys, man. The big guys, it's easy to get your hands on them guys because it's a big body frame. But the little guys, with being a big cornerback, man, the guys, the little shifty guys that can move, it's crazy. To try to stay in front of them the whole time, and especially quick guys as fast.
You get a chance to practice against a few of those.
Yeah,
guys,
a lot of them guys.
Who is the toughest cover then?
I say Jakeem Grant.
He's the toughest cover of them all?
Yeah, not of them all.
Just in practice.
Just
in
practice.
Okay.
At all, I say out of all the receivers in the lead, I'd say the toughest.
I want you to write down.
I know. I mean, based on what you said, I think.
Who I played against, I say AB.
Ah! Oh, I wrote down 84.
He wrote it down, too.
I had Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill? Oh, yeah, man.
That's going to be tough, right?
Yeah, that was tough, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully you're going to be predisposed and on your way to Atlanta, Georgia. But, I mean, the buzz that you're starting to get now, Pro Bowl, Orlando, Florida. Right. I mean, I assume you enjoy those accolades now. We got to get the vote in for you. But I want to commend you also. Talk about your charity work.
Oh, my charity work, man. I've been doing a lot with the Miami Dolphins. You know, just giving back in the community. That's a big thing for me. And also I'm going to start doing stuff back in Houston on the offseason. I was going to have a Xavier Howard weekend out there, do a little bike giveaway, a little Thanksgiving drive or something like that, and also a camp and probably a celebrity basketball game.
All right, so you keep a little eye at home. What's wrong with the Rockets?
Oh, man, I don't know.
It's weird. But why would they get Carmelo in the first place? Nobody could see that was going to be a problem. Oh. Carmelo hasn't had issues at his last seven stops.
Man, I think Carmelo Anthony still got it, man.
You
can't count that guy out, man. He played a lot of ball, seen a lot of ball. And I think his last game I seen he was probably 2 for 11 or 12.
To see, that's poor. That,
yeah, I think he only had like 2 points, I think. I think he only had like 2 points. I was like, man, that's crazy. That can't happen again. But, you know, I like James Harden also. Chris Paul, great ball player, man. Mm-hmm. I used to watch his documentary growing up because I was a point guard also at in high school.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I can dribble the ball a little bit.
So what do you think of who's going to come out of the West? If it weren't, let's say it's not Golden State. Actually, what about Golden State? Have you ever been a part in a locker room of something like that where two stars are going at it a little bit? And I mean, even in Pittsburgh now with Levy and Bell and the guys that he left behind, it seems like that's gotten a little contentious. Have you been a part of that sort of locker room drama?
No, I haven't really been a part of a locker room drama like that. Man, I say them guys, I say they got to stay to themselves, man. Just let that guy do what he got to do, man. Everybody that probably was talking about the situation probably already got paid. Now is that man time to get paid. You know, especially with the running backs positions, they don't last that long in the league. So, man, just get it while you can.
Well, no disrespect to Kenyon Drake and to Frank Gore, but it does, I will say, there is a case to be made for the Miami Dolphins taking a run at Levy and Bell. He obviously is no stranger to South Beach. Obviously comfortable, no state tax. I could make a case that with the cap, you could make there'd be a path to get him there.
I mean, the Dolphins have got someone more important to pay a year from now.
Who's that?
right.
Sitting right here.
What a brown noser he is.
That's where they should be. They should be spending their money.
Right.
What if he said?
What's the plan there, though? What are you expecting to be talking to them this off season?
Well, I don't know what the plan they have. I'm gonna be going into my fourth year. I can get an extension or not, but I really want to stay in the Miami Dolphins. I love it and everything. I love the organization. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's business. So no matter what happened through here, I just know it's business. So that's how I'm looking at it like that.
Mm-hmm. Have you – I'm sorry to go back to Levy and Bell, but he is a big story right
now.
He's
great, man. Nice running back, man. I love that guy, man.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, obviously likes to go out and catch some passes as well. Would you have any concerns with him as a teammate right now that he took the season off? Do you look at it that way? He must not have passion for the game.
I don't think it's that, man. I think he's trying to do something different. What he been saying, the money that he had wanted, they didn't offer him. I feel like that's his business, what he got going on with him and his agent. I don't know everything to it. So, you know, I can't really speak as much on it, but I hope the best for him. I hope he get the money he looking for. He's a great player. I feel like he can do big things when he come back.
I think that's exactly the way it's going to go. People who are fans of the Steelers want it to not go well for Levy and Bell so that they can say, see, you should have signed the contract.
Right.
But I think the fact is that come next spring, if you're on the Miami Dolphins, if you're hey, did you hear? We just signed Levy and Bell. You're going to be nothing but excited about it.
Right.
Whoa, wait a second. What?
What?
Oh, to go. Oh, wow. We're going to. Oh, now if we just tune this defense up a little bit and he can just spin that clock for you. I think that's
man, that'll be great, man. No offense to the running backs that we have now, man. Them guys do great things with what they do. And with Le'Veon Bell, man, that'll be special if he come to Miami Dolphins. But you know, I don't know what they're gonna do or what's gonna happen. So if he do come there, I'm gonna be surprised. I'm like, wow.
Better food, Houston or Miami?
Miami.
That was a quick answer. Why do you make an eye like that at me? I thought Houston had good food.
Oh, no, not like Miami, man. When I first got to Miami, I was culture shocked because all the people I seen there. And I love eating Cuban food.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that Cuban food, do it.
A nice Cuban sandwich, yeah, can't be beat. But Houston, for the record, a lot of nice steaks stuff like that.
Yeah, barbecue, oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, great catching up with you, man. We appreciate you coming in here. And, oh, one more thing for you. So Coach Tomlin, you've dealt with him a little bit. Maybe if, you know, whatever, however things go with Miami, you know, you got one more.
No.
That'd be a great fit up in Pittsburgh.
No.
You could deal with a little
Let's
chill.
Let's not do that.
You could deal with a little chill in the air, right?
Well, yeah.
You'd like it.
The weather, not much. I deal with Tomlin doing my pro day.
Right.
Yeah, the Steeler was there, almost their whole coaching staff, and I had talked to them guys doing my pro day. And I thought I was going there.
You're a
they had that chance.
You really do. You really are a perfect fit for what they like to do.
I thought I was going there. When I seen them pick, I was like, oh, wow. But when Miami Dolphins called me, man, they gave me an opportunity.
Who did they go with over you when you thought they were about to call your name?
Artie Burns.
You always see that. I love and you'll remember that forever,
man,
right?
I always remember the guys that went before me, man.
It's the best. It is. You're in good company because guys who are now in the Hall of Fame or on their way to the Hall of Fame, they've retired and everything else, had great careers, that they still remember that.
They can name every single one.
That's my chip on my shoulder.
They'll never forget who got drafted in front of them, and they always turn it up. And so now, as a Steelers fan, I hope we don't have to play in the playoffs because I know what that means. I know that you're going to bring it extra just to teach Coach Tomlin and everybody.
Oh, yeah, I did it 16 when we played them in the playoff. I got an interception on Big Ben. That's right. Yeah, my first interception of that year.
Now that you mentioned Big Ben, who's the scariest QB to go up against?
The guy I just played last week on Aaron Rodgers. Man, that guy can run past all that.
He's the toughest one. Even with you've gotten plenty of looks at number 12.
I got
12
Tom Brady
there.
Too, so there's always something about them too.
Yeah, but you don't have to break off from coverage to go and hit the QB when Aaron Rodgers is. Oh wait, he's fast. He's faster than their running backs are. Yeah.
Man, yes, that's crazy, man. You got to stay covering for a long time with him in the backfield. So you know, it's a lot of plays that they had extended plays. So that's the crazy part about his game, and he make perfect throws and he can run. So that's a lot for a quarterback.
Well, continued good health to you. Hopefully the health in general turns around for the Dolphins. And like I say, I mean, I really do think there's a path for the Dolphins to wind up playing in January. Yeah, yeah. Congratulations to you, handsome.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to talk with?
No, it was great having Xavier here.
What a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure to see you. Have a good time here on NFL Network, chopping it up with everyone else out there. And thank you for listening. We'll be back after Week 11 in front of Week 12 to tell you all that's going to go down and what just did go down. Down in Week 11, including our breakdown of Chiefs and Rams. We're going to be out there, as a matter of fact. Me, Spaghetti, MVP.
I'm going too.
Are you
going
to be there, handsome? All right.
I bought 4 tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I could sit with you.
All right.
If you're free.
Yeah, come along too.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Why not?
Now we got three. Who's going to be our fourth? Yeah. Oh, you know what? LeBron. You said you're a Heat fan. You didn't get to watch him play.
The four of us should go
to the game.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay. Then it's settled. You can look for Xavier Howard, LeBron James, Handsome Hank, and Dave Dameshek in the Coliseum on Monday night for the big game there. We'll talk to you after that. Make sure you check it out. We'll have some good stuff for you coming out of that one. Until then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.